Okay.
Adrenaline in my soul. Something, something, Cody Rhodes. Adrenaline in my soul. Something, something, Cody Rhodes. Adrenaline in my soul. Something, something, Cody Rhodes.
Man, I miss Cody Rhodes. Man. Okay. We got a lot to talk about. There's just so much.
Oh, that's just, this is just a voice memo you sent me one time I was about to play.
What is it?
I don't know. Let's find out. This could be...
Is that it?
Danny.
I think it's just a butt dial.
Oh, shit.
Look, look, you just say Danny, look.
Yeah, just whistling Danny over.
You were just at the park with your dog, and you just accidentally sent me a butt dial. Coming at you, everybody.
This is why they pay us the big bucks.
A lot to cover. Welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling Podcast, a podcast where comedians dissect wrestling to an unhealthy degree. I'm your host, the host with the most viral stand-up about professional wrestling.
Wow.
Black, a.k.a. Dunsky, Black Amora, a.k.a. Tanakatsu Tony, the Patreon Don, coming at you. Donnie Capri from the time I went to Italy.
Man, oh man.
Coming at you like Scott Bakula. Ooh, baby, we're taking a quantum leap. Gabba wee. This girl,
gabba wee.
She's mine. And hop, hum. Damn, she's fine. What up, Jabroniacs? We are back in action.
Oh man,
for your satisfaction with all of our spicy,
touching myself.
Weekly caliente wrestling reactions. Yo, I can still spout that thing off. Unbelievable.
Man, it was all over the place, but it was probably the best one you've ever done.
It was organic, bro. No sound drops, man, or anything. I have the sound drops.
Let's, all right, real quick. It's the best one you ever did in your whole entire life.
Yeah.
Cowmania 1, you versus Letterman, the live podcast version of it, which we've yet to release.
No, I think it's on the main feed.
Or there was footage too.
Yeah, I think there's footage of it too.
We don't have the footage. I think your brother still has it. I think Mike still has it.
Really?
I think so. I think that's what you told me last. But best intro of all time was when you came out for that and you just like talked for a second. You're like, well, if we're going to do this, this is only one way to do it. And then you fucking hit the music and the whole crowd did the whole entire fucking intro.
That, so
everybody in attendance.
For the newer listeners, we did the live, our first live show. WrestleMania 35, oh, wow, interesting. You guys are interesting stuff in the Discord, but sorry. We did WrestleMania 5, 35 live show, and we did, that was Calmania 1, where I wrestled Adam Letterman, for the people who know about it. And there's, you can watch the match on YouTube of me versus Adam Letterman. Hard-hitting wrestling action. Match of the year, many said. But
probably the best match in
the history of the world.
Cow history.
And we did the show, and I came out, and I was like, all right, let's kick it off. And then I had the soundboard plugged in. I was like, oh, I'll do the intro, thinking this might just be a crazy thing I did live. But then the crowd does the intro along with – everybody knew it. That was so crazy. It was so fucking nuts because it's such an involved intro, you know?
Yeah.
Great time.
It was the best. It was the best.
It was the best of time. It was the worst of time.
I mean, you spent $360 on LaCroix. You actually had Jack Mills had a fucking going by it. And literally just to make a wall of LaCroix. But then we had the best part about that is the leftovers we kept because I had the truck.
Yeah.
And we brought them to the tailgate. And then we had like a simultaneous 40 pop of a LaCroix.
And then the world fell apart very soon after that. I mean, truly, the world went to such shit. Peaked. It was so crazy.
We were peaking at that time.
Yeah. Anyway, patreon.com/comedianswrestling. Support the podcast. We'll have a bonus episode. We got to talk after Dynamite this week.
Man, we have so much to talk about.
We do have so much to talk about, too. Let's just not even fuck around too much. Let's just jump into it, get to the most important story of the evening. Logan Paul signing let's cut the shit right now and get to the most important news in wrestling.
This is the best wrestling podcast around.
Logan Paul, my hero. I don't know what he does, really. I'm not that familiar. I think he's a rapper or a boxer or a both of those. We love Logan Paul. What I know him mostly from is coming into the diner while I was in the diner. And then there being like 10 or 15 open tables. But the guy saying, oh, I'm sorry, Logan Paul, you have to go. We're not seating people. And Logan Paul just kind of left. And to be honest, I think he has the reputation of being a huge douche, but he did not act douchey at all. Like, he respected this guy was working and didn't want to take more tables. And look, frankly, this diner, I mean, we should shout out this diner because this diner decided to seat us over Logan Paul. They know what's up. And on his way out, I screamed, let's go, Mysterios. And one of the guys with him turned around and was like, oh, boo.
Yeah. I literally texted you that entire bit to you one day and said, you should make this as like part of your stand up because this is just fucking, I was just randomly thinking of that moment and how fucking hilarious it was and how much of a mark you have to be for that to be the thing that you say to him. Like,
I wouldn't have anything else to say to Logan Paul. I don't know anything about him.
Meanwhile, the two girls sitting by the door were like snapping pictures, like, oh my God, it's Logan Paul. And they're like snapping pictures. And the guy in the background is like, let's go, Mysterios.
Well, I'll tell you a couple things about Logan Paul. Okay. That week, I knew really nothing, not that much about Logan Paul, other than like, you know, whatever you hear about Logan Paul, he boxes or whatever. But I don't really know anything about his deal, you know? Okay. In that weekend, I saw him in the diner, and that was chill. Then I saw him in the diner. He looked fucking good. You know what I mean? He looked good. He was big, you know? Then he showed up to Mania. He worked a great match, you know? His gear was sick.
Mm-hmm. And he wore $5 million.
Wore a $2 million. It was $2 million.
I thought it was five.
All right, well, let's make it five. That's better. he wore a $5 million Pokemon card around his neck to go to the ring. And he immediately became one of my guys. Okay. I mean, that is.
Like Pokemon inspired gear, too. I mean, like fire
gear. He looked like a pro wrestler. I mean, think about how many pro wrestlers they do this professionally and they can't think of anything clever to do. This guy comes out with a $5 million Pokemon around his neck immediately. That is the fucking modern day $1 million man move, right? It's the equivalent
He killed it on all levels, and then he does the Eddie Guerrero stuff in the ring, wrestling the Mysterios. I mean, he killed it. Athletic as fuck. He's doing splits. He's fucking doing frog splashes and everything. I mean, yeah. Let's see this.
I texted you too. I said, it's interesting that Logan Paul. Versus, who was the example I gave?
Bad Bunny.
Yeah, it was like Logan Paul versus Bad Bunny would be a bigger matchup than any superstar versus any superstar. Like, people would be so high.
I have a better.
And that just is what wrestling is now.
I honestly think I hope it's working its way to Logan Paul versus Pat McAfee, because I think that shit would just absolutely tear the house down. Not even going to lie. I think that is even another one. I want to see Logan Paul versus all those guys.
The only thing I can't tell with the Pat McAfee stuff is that is Pat McAfee over with the crowd?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I can never like really tell. Like, it's always
Until SummerSlam. He's coming out again. He needs to up his gear. We need to get this to Pat McAfee. Hey, man, you're the fucking man. You're a professional wrestler and a really good one at that. And all the bonus comes from being an incredible commentator, too.
Yeah.
Let's go. If you're going to act the part, you got to play the part. You can't be coming out in these ripped jeans and the fucking tank. Like, do it. If Logan Paul's going to come out looking like a professional wrestler, you got to start doing it too.
I agree. Logan Paul, one of my guys. I'm not taking it back.
You have fireworks? Can we get Look, a
who's it better? Or who's a better wrestler? Logan Paul July. Or Adam Cole?
Adam Cole, bro. Stop.
It's Logan Paul. But look, here's the thing. Better wrestler, Logan Paul or Baron Corbin?
Wow.
Better wrestler, Baron Corbin or Adam Cole, honestly.
Adam Cole, dude.
It's Baron Corbin. He's way better.
I'm going to tell you right now. Yeah. Baron Corbin versus Pat McAfee is going to tear the house down at SummerSlam.
Yeah, you know.
Corbin tore the house down at Mania. McAfee tore the house down at Mania. You put those two together in the ring, going to tear the house down.
Here's what I got to say.
Nashville? Nashville's going to be so over for fucking McAfee. He's going to come out in the cowboy hat, probably the boots. Maybe actually, a bolo tie.
Damn it.
I can't believe Logan Paul is the first thing we're talking about. We haven't talked about Blood and Guts. Money in the Bank, Monday Night Raw.
And we're not going
Rampage.
To. We're not going to, okay?
I mean, I can talk about...
What that McAfee should come out to. Jeff Jarrett with the baby guy.
Oh my god. Dude.
Dude, Jeff Jarrett, he's working for WWE, right?
You should have Jeff Jarrett play him out, bro.
And then he points to the ramp, and it's me. That's right, everybody. It's me, single D, A, not a double N, capital B, L, single A, C, single K. No doubles. No doubles, but all single damn black. He used to be married, now he's single. All right, wait, and then it's like, oh my god, wait, and then they're like, oh shit, this is crazy. It's Dan Black and Jeff Jarrett. No one thought they were gonna see this. No one's sure that they wanted to see this. What is this? Nobody knows. We're confused. We're just as confused here. But wait, what is that? Oh my god!
It's time to eat my ass.
Oh my god, it's Nick Tulo! My god, it's Nick Tulo, and he's here to have everybody eat his ass! Oh my god! Yo, WWE, I just had this thought. By the way, it's a pro wrestling podcast. I just had this thought. No, all
right. It's the comedians of eat my ass. It's
the comedians of eating ass. This is the thing. WWE should just stop. They should go back to the Attitude Era just right now. Like, no one wants it. No, you can't. If they're going to just be this watered down thing, just start being crazy. Just go. They should get nuts. Just get nuts.
Honestly.
The show should get nuts. Their most successful
you know what?
Stuff they do is not the wrestling anymore. It's fine. We got AEW.
Didn't watch Money in the Bank. Only like, you know, you know why? Here's another.
Chuck Norris should be the next WWE champ. That's what I'm saying.
I'm fine with that. I want to bump somebody up to the number one, definitely not one of my guys, definitely should eat my ass list. And that's Peacock, the app. That app is absolute fucking trash. Whoever's running that shit can eat my ass. Like, that stuff it's the worst fucking app.
I just
want to
say, for the record, I do not share this opinion. I love Peacock.
No way. What do you have, a possible pilot pitch with them?
I love Peacock. They're some of my favorite. They do my favorite stuff. That's all I have to say.
Dan's obviously working on either a pilot
I'm a
with
huge
them or
Peacock guy. I think all WrestleMania should be labeled by seasons. I think that's a great idea. All right? That's what I want
to
say.
Bro, I couldn't even watch the replay. It wouldn't allow me to watch the replay. It was
me either. It kept going back to the menu, right? Is that what's happening with you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just exclusively don't even go to like the WWE section of it anymore. It's so bad. It's absolutely out of control that they paid like $250 million for that thing or whatever
why,
it was.
Why does it got to be on Peacock? Like, why can't it be like the WWE app powered by Peacock? Like, I miss going to WWE Network, you know? Right? Like,
yeah,
I don't,
why?
It can still be part of Peacock, but why can't it have its own app entrance? You know? That would make me happy, you know?
Yeah. Like, you can watch it on Peacock or watch it on the app that's powered by Peacock. I love that.
I don't think anybody's turning on the Peacock and then going like, oh, maybe I'll watch WWE, right? Like, you know?
It's,
and it's
so bad.
Hilarious. It's laid out. It's like TV shows, movies, WWE. It's such a big jump, you know?
Yeah.
It's like
number four on the list.
It's like, it's that's like saying like, it's like, you know, TV, movies, Are You Afraid of the Dark? You know what I mean? Like, it's so specific. It's not a genre, you know? But it's that's cool about wrestling is that it is kind of genreless. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, even if it said, like, TVs, movies, anime, that would make more sense than TVs, movies. That's it's more the equivalent of said TVs, movies, Dragon Ball Z, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's too specific. Anyway.
I think it goes sports, then WWE.
Anyway, I'm a huge cock fan.
Yeah, so, I mean.
Hey. All right. Here's what I was saying. Logan Paul, one of my guys. Let's just keep it at that. But I'm not walking it back. You know, when you wear that much expensive of a Pokemon card, it's just that's just
I mean, I'm totally fine
so
with
funny.
It.
Well, a Post Malone has an $800,000 Magic card. You saw that?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Post Malone, one of your guys.
Post Malone, 100% one of my guys. I love Post Malone.
I'm going to see him in October.
Jackie Chan with Post Malone all day, baby.
Yeah.
I love Pokemon Post Malone. Kind of weird. I was a fan of Post Malone, then found out he played Magic, and I was like, this guy is so one of my guys. It's insane. Yeah. You know? Yeah. So it suddenly becomes so deeply one of your guys. Very similar to how Adam Cole became so not one of my guys.
Let me ask you a question. Is Machine Gun Kelly still one of your guys?
Yeah. Here's the deal. All right. I'm not going to turn my back on Machine Gun Kelly. Okay, I'm not going. We got to remember that Machine Gun Kelly did take a powerbomb off of the ramp. What's the fucking, what do you call the top there? The ramp.
Yeah,
I guess, ramp. Right?
Yeah. The stage.
Yeah, off the stage from KO. It made KO look awesome when KO was kind of new, right? Mm-hmm. That was dope. He does have a lot of dope music that I like. He's definitely going a direction that is not for me. That's unfortunate, you know? I don't know what happens to these guys. They get famous for being cool, and then all of a sudden they're wearing, like, Dolce & Gabbana high fashion and all that shit, and then it's like, you're like, wait, what? Where did you go wrong? Like, why are you veering off from – and why are you veering
why
off
you say,
from,
yeah, well, I'm Veer Mahan, cool. Man.
Look, why are you doing a Veer Mahan?
Well, that's – it's kind of like the Maximum Model Agency. I mean – these guys, look at these guys, man. They look incredible. Marseille and Monsieur.
I don't know. I never get that.
Let me time out, bro.
What?
I need to start giving credit where credit's due. Raw is an absolute hoot of a good time, man. I watched Raw this week. I had a blast. There's so much crazy shit going on over there. There's actually long-term storytelling happening. I'm here for it. I think it's great. I think WWE is on a little bit of a heater right now. I think having SummerSlam this close to Money in the Bank ends up being a great decision. And I think they're just primed for a nice little run here through Money in the Bank, through SummerSlam.
Are you ready to finally do it? Are you ready to finally make Cora Jade one of your guys? All right. Here's the deal.
Not there yet.
A lot to talk about. I will agree. WWE is in a zone where I'm a little bit more focused on WWE, but I think that's because Money in the Bank was built up. Well, let's talk about Money in the Bank. I thought that Money in the Bank was very fun. Definitely a little bit of like what you expect from Money in the Bank. It seems to be, it was a little bit of a formulaic Money in the Bank for me, where I'm like, all right, I kind of was a little ahead of it, you know, but it always worked. It felt like Bayley had the same Money in the Bank, you know, like 3 or 4 years ago.
Yes. But what I will say is is this, in this instance, this is the most logical cashing, you know, that the women have done, in my opinion, because Ronda's injured. So it makes sense to cash in, you know, like you have to. When Bayley did it and when Alexa did it, they just cashed in like the same night. And it was just like Charlotte just won her match and then came out of it. When Nikki Cross did it, you know, they had the Oscar turnover in the case. So this one was great.
No one's ready for the Oscars. Did you say Alexa like Alexa Bliss? Did that get Alexa to go? Because you said Alexa Bliss.
Alexa, stop.
Alexa Bliss. Anywho.
So I'm here for Liv.
Cool storytelling. Like, Liv wins. She won in a really cool way. That bouncing off the rope was pretty dope. Into kicking Becky. I thought that was really fucking cool. Mm-hmm. And then she won it. And then when Liv cashed in, Ronda, who you're saying is actually injured, right?
I have no idea.
Ronda sold that injury so well.
Yeah.
To Ronda's credit. And the one thing about Ronda you just cannot knock is that, like, she's pretty fucking good at wrestling, you know? This was a very, 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 non-substantial title run for Ronda, I would say, you know?
But it served its purpose.
It served its purpose. And cool, it got Liv over. When Liv came out to pin her, and then she Liv kicked that knee before the pin.
Yeah,
that was really slick. I dug that. And congrats to Liv. Liv is one of my guys because I love Liv. She's really nice. I talk to her sometimes. She's very friendly, very cool, very nice person, very hardworking. Literally, I'll tell you guys a story about Liv. Okay. Now is the champion. If you want Liv to be one of your guys, I hung out with Liv one night, and I think Skylar, somebody mentioned that I do these matches, which I would not have brought up. Okay, that I do cow matches.
Mm-hmm.
And then she was like,
"Speaking of,
do you have any footage?" And she watched the entire me versus Iffy match.
Which one?
And dug it. DCM one. The one.
Oh my God. That one's so fucking funny, man.
Yeah, the live one.
People went nuts at that one.
She's a very nice person and hardworking. Good for her. Congratulations, you know?
And she killed it on Raw. Super over as a babyface. Her and Bianca together. They did a smooth fucking. Like, they're doing this thing where Raw and SmackDown are kind of crossing over a lot now, you know? And it's very, very good for WWE. They definitely need this. The titles should show up on both brands. The wrestlers should show up on both brands. It makes this awesome narrative. Carmella comes out. She tells Liv that she doesn't – why are they even here? Her and Natalya, why are you even here? You're SmackDown wrestlers. Go back to your brand. Turns into a beatdown. Bianca comes out. So now you have two completely over faces – versus two heels. Kudos to WWE. They are definitely focusing on their women. The women main evented again tonight on Raw. I think this is like the third week in a row on Raw that I've seen the women main event. Mostly Becky and Asuka every single time. Because guess what? I'll literally watch them wrestle forever. Like, those two are incredible. And you know what? Asuka is so deeply one of my guys. She always fucking turns up, man. She always wrestles good matches. That bump, that manhandle slam, or whatever she calls it, through that table was insane. Insane. So I'm just so proud of WWE, actually. And I'm going to say something, and I want to hear your take on it. I truly think that Stephanie and Triple H are actually back there running things right now. Because that's what it feels like. The women's division has been thriving ever since Stephanie came back. It's really weird to say. And the storytelling was very NXT-like this week. And, like, faces are super over. Like, Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits are crazy. They're doing funny bits with the hot dog eating contest. I think the old man is, like, taking a step back.
Well, I think that what's going on with... Vince is now only focused on creative. Like, we've talked
about
this many times before.
I don't
want to
forget about
it. We were talking about this many times before, which is that you know, he runs WWE like a mom and pop shop, but it's like a billion-dollar corporation, public, you know, public corporation. So it's like he needs to be, you know, like creative is a full-time job. So probably the creative is going to do better when he's not pulled in five bajillion directions. You know what I'm saying? Regardless of how you feel about him, it has nothing to do with him or anyone else. Anyway,
I have another point to make.
What did I'm looking at the thing. I'm in the Discord right now, and Merch Maven give me shit saying I need to embrace the concept of my experience isn't universal when it comes to pop culture opinions. You know what she was referring to? Where did I fuck up there?
Probably not liking something like Obi-Wan or something like that. It was after like the last episode. I think I was giving you shit
for it. I wonder
what
I shit on that she dug.
Everything, probably. I mean, you didn't like Batman. I know she loved that. You didn't really like Obi-Wan.
Oh, she loved the Batman.
Yeah. Easy. Let's not go there.
Wait, so she loved the movie.
We got so much to talk about.
Are you saying that she loved the movie The Batman?
Yeah.
All right, fine. Okay, all right. Keep going. Right. What was your opinion? You were gonna say?
I think that with Roman Reigns, I know it's coming. I'm not doing it.
I can't even find it, so I can't do it. You think with Roman what?
I think with Roman not being around, all of a sudden.
I actually have a thing to say about Batman, which is, first off, I'd say one thing. Yes, I have strong opinions about things, but I'm always open to hear what you have to say. I pitched an idea to something. We'll wait to hear. I pitched an idea where I would back up the fact that I can make a better Batman movie, okay? And we'll see what happens with it. And I'm just saying, so I put my money where my mouth is. Also, I want to say I was in Walmart.
A wild statement to make. It's very vague, but it's just so crazy to say that. And I'm just like, what did I just hear? So you can keep going.
I can say what it's not a secret. I don't know. I can say it, but
If you don't want to say it, then don't.
But anyway, I was in Walmart and I passed like the Batman toys, like for kids. And it really solidified how my movie stunk, but okay, because I was like, they had the Penguin toy for kids, and I was like, no kid wants this toy.
Yeah.
It's literally just a guy.
Yeah.
It's a toy of a guy, you know?
Yeah, with a weird face.
So anyway, all right, let's get out of the Batman detour and go back to what you're saying. You really think
so? Roman Reigns isn't around right now, right? Holding two titles. What I've noticed is storytelling for the US title and the IC title have gotten significantly better. And there's a big reason that has to do with one, fucking Gunther is insane. Wow, he's making that IC title amazing. Kudos to fucking his boy. I always forget his name now. Ludwig, I think he's going by. Is that right?
I don't know. Yeah.
Ludwig?
I know what you guys are
talking
about.
Like that?
The guy looks real German.
The intro for him is like incredible. I mean, wow. The red coat, everything is just, I mean, foreign heel, they are absolutely nailing it. And Gunther's very comfortable. Also, might have to say that Gunther is a pretty dope fucking name now. I'm fucking kind of digging it. Not going to lie.
Gunther actually, I don't know, someone said this. It is a real Nazi reference, which I think is weird. But whatever. Yeah. Again, we don't need to beat around the bush. We know what's going on there. There's definitely some pull from Nazi Germany militarism going on there, okay? Based on the costuming and the vibe, all of it. Now, I don't know. As a Jewish person, you know, I could say if he's a heel, it kind of, you know, kind of works. You know what I mean? There's a line and they're not crossing it. You know what I mean?
I mean, have you cared about the IC title in recent memory?
Well, I'm too late. Is there really a difference between like the bad guys being Nazis and Indiana Jones? You know what I mean? Like the movie that's fictional, so is this, and they're not walking around with doing Hitler shit and you know. So anyway, not wearing swastika stuff. So whatever. That being said, And I'm sure that Walter, from all accounts, seems like a nice guy. So, right? All right. Walter, but the name Gunther is way more hard-hitting than Walter. Walter's like, hey, he's Walter. Walter's a computer programmer. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah.
I agree. You're right.
The name of a dog. Isn't your dog named Walter? Don't you have a, what's your dog's name?
Sheffield?
Sheffield. Same thing.
You thought
Walter
my
Sheffield.
Dog's name was Walter, but it's
for a second. Sheffield. What's the other dog's name?
Dennis.
Dennis, that's right. Neither one will go. I think there's literally a dog that goes is in my dog park, and his name is Walter. So
okay. Anyway, all right, we almost had a Christina detour, but we didn't get it.
Well, you can take one if you want, but my point was here, I'll leave you with the point is that both the IC title and US title are much more important now that Roman Reigns is away. Mute.
Oh, I think Petulo's taking a phone call. Thank God. All right. We can finally have a good time. My thing is that, all right, let's just talk quickly about this. So congrats to Liv. And what I'm reading here, as we're, I don't know, Tulo, did, I was going to read this to Tulo, but I'm reading that Ronda demanded that Liv cash in. She said, I just closed it. Fuck. But I was reading that Ronda said that Liv has the most passion for wrestling in the back. And that kind of ties into what I was saying about that, how she wanted to watch my tape and stuff. So that's pretty cool if Ronda did that. And if that's true, and, you know, it's the internet, so who the fuck really knows what's going on. If that's true, good for Ronda. She seems to be a great person. And Ronda also, for me, Ronda is one of my guys. Ronda's always welcome in WWE. I like it. She's not the draw that she once was, but that might be good for her. You know, I mean, like, might be good for her to kind of figure it out and just be kind of more of a pro wrestler with who's, like, you know, famous. So she has that. She had a spot against Natty towards the end where they were on the apron, and I think she had her in a leg lock, and she, or maybe she had the sharpshooter, I forget. But you know, she did like a tumble salt, and then Natty's head like hit the back of the fucking turnbuckle on the outside, like the where the LED lights are, pretty fucking hard. That looked awesome if it was worked, but I think it was just pretty stiff. I dug that. Cool. Yeah, I'm excited to see what they do with Liv. She seems to be likable and over. So, and Bianca too. Dig it.
Sorry about that.
I was saying, Tulo, that I read that Ronda wanted Liv to win it. That Ronda was saying that she was going to go away, and she was like, she said that, this is what I was reading, and it's from the, you know, the sheets. He was saying that Ronda said that Liv has the most passion for wrestling in the back, and that's why she wanted her to win it.
Amazing. I love that. I love to hear that. And you could see it. She's authentic when she was celebrating in the ring on Raw too. So I'm all in. Can we talk about theory? What are we going to talk about? Theory?
We're going to go to theory. You know what?
That's fine. And that's another reason why I think the US title actually is matter. I thought he did a great job with it.
Austin Theory is legit. I mean, it just is what it is.
I will go on record.
Fuck.
Yeah, I'll go on record as saying I saw it a long, very long time ago. He's got the goods.
You and Shebs went to an Evolve show and both told me this guy, Austin Theory, is no joke.
No joke. And he he made some poor decisions and is involved in some stupid shit and contacting underage girls and shit like that. And it's no good. So, but he seems to have.
Selectively forgot about it.
That seems to be the thing.
I don't know.
On the TV every week. Unfortunately, he's not going away. But for what he's doing a great job. And it's, you know, kudos to him landing in the role of being the understudy of another predator in the company, the biggest one, Vince McMahon. I mean, wow, talk about a funny storyline there.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Ruining the mood. I mean, he's over. The guy's killing it.
This is just a thing that makes it what it is. It's Riddle, Theory, Vince. These are all three top wrestling talents who have some problematic situation that we're not sure what to do with, you know?
WWE doesn't have protocols. If they had protocols, if they suspended people, if they fucking, you know, investigated and did the actual things. Like, okay, Velveteen Dream just gone. Okay, so if Velveteen Dream's gone, why aren't these guys gone also? You know, like, it doesn't add up. It's not consistent. Really, it's inconsistent. That's all I'm saying is it's inconsistent. If they had protocols and did things about it to show that people were, you know, they take these things seriously, but they don't. And one of the biggest reasons why is their owner is the biggest culprit of it. So
these guys, might be guilty of no wrongdoing. Like, I don't even know, you know, because it's whatever. But anyway, we have to kind of just like put that to the side to talk about the product, you know, and go into kayfabe. So I'm not saying these guys are as individuals great guys. I don't know. I have no idea. As a professional wrestler, Austin Theory is developing very fast, you know? And
24
is a guy who Vince saw something in, put the rocket on his back, and he seems to be really fucking killing it. And him winning the Money in the Bank is absolutely perfect. I mean, I hated that Seth was going to be winning this briefcase, like, because I just am someone who thinks that the briefcase is a developmental thing. That being said, Seth would have been cool with it. And I like that every couple of years it goes to someone who's not necessarily, like, you got to switch it up. It shouldn't be so linear, right? But we haven't had it in a while boost somebody's career like it did for Edge, you know, or Rey Mysterio. There were guys who won the case, Ziggler, who won the case, and it really got them to the next level. And sometimes, like, I would watch this thing happen all the time when I was coming up at UCB. And my friend would be someone who's like a pretty good independent improviser, right? Like, doing indie shows, meaning non at UCB, just kind of like the mecca of stages for improv, right, at the time. Mm-hmm. And they would get put on a house team and then literally overnight become 40 times better of an improviser just from the rub, you know, just from the validation. Right, Christina? Yeah. So sometimes validation is so important as a performer, because sometimes there's an element of that that is just kayfabe, that is just like people now see you with more shine. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then there's a part of it where it's like you're seeing yourself, you're unlocking a confidence that you had, an ability. You're believing in yourself more, right? You're not thinking it's bullshit. It's some version of The Secret, right, Christina? Positive affirmations. I remember I had one friend who I watched him just get amazing at improv over. Christina loves these points. He got great, and he never turned back. Like, I thought he was pretty good, and then he got the validation. So it's really important in wrestling for that to happen. These guys are going on TV, on live television, and you need the rub. And that's not just pinning someone. It's really like booking, getting spots, and feeling like the company believes in you and seeing an actual trajectory for yourself to have a career. Because guys in WWE sometimes have like imposter syndrome and feel like, I'm here, it'll be cool, I'll obviously get fired, because it's a place where most people get fired, right? And when you make it feel like, no, you're an actual staple of this place, that's why guys like Seth have been so good for so long. He feels such fucking job validation and security, it makes you better. Like, he's willing to go, like, I'm going to put on this drip and risk it, because he knows Vince isn't just going to let him go because he doesn't like his vibe overnight. Mm. Even if he gets in trouble. So, like, watch Austin Theory now fly. Baron Corbin's another guy who, truthfully, he got infinitely better once, like, he knew, like, wow, this company really is into me.
Well, this is an interesting person to bring up, because that's what I was about to say about Austin Theory, too, is that successful or unsuccessful, still great for him, because no one wants him to successfully cash in. If he was to, you can and become WWE champion, you just start thinking about guys like fucking Randy Orton versus Theory. Like, you start getting the guys who were in his shoes, like, you know, young champions, shit like that.
Or what about matches like Riddle versus Theory for the title at a pay-per-view? Like,
and he will also be infinitely over as a heel if he was unsuccessfully cash in, you know?
Yeah.
Say Brock wins at fucking SummerSlam and then Theory comes and cashes in and Brock defeats him. Man, he, you know, Theory could show up the next night on Raw and just be fucking over as hell, you know, not over like, in a heel sense of like, people would boo the fucking shit out of him and be so happy that he didn't get the fucking title because he talks all this shit. So he's in such a money zone that no matter what he does right now, he's going to kill it. He came out last night on Raw, did a great job, you know, holding that briefcase. Looks good. Like, he knows what he's doing, and he's still connected with Bobby Lashley in a way too. So it's like, it's perfect.
Is he wrestling Cena at SummerSlam? That's not booked yet, right?
No, I think he's wrestling. Oh no, he's wrestling Bobby Lashley.
Oh, he's got a rematch. He's Lashley.
I think we're gonna get Seth or Cena at SummerSlam.
Well, you saw Seth post the "You Can't See Me" picture on.
Yeah,
the Cena.
And he just beat Seth needs Ezekiel.
Seth needs work to me. I'm not pleased.
I mean, I can't believe you're saying this, dude. I can't. You're so missing on this. I can't believe it, dude. I can't believe it. I think this guy is absolutely fucking killing it. He looked like
a
million bucks.
I know, but
his pants last night.
He's the top wrestler in the company now.
He's out of his mind. He's lost his mind. He's crazy.
He's letting Cody waltz in and be.
It's beautiful.
Where Seth could do it. He's
look at it, and now he's winning matches. He just. Anyway. He's going to win, and then Cody's going to come back, dude. It's
going
to be amazing.
Cody Rhodes is so positioned to actually be this marquee guy that they're trying to make him, you know? And
honestly,
that's
an
so
injury
sad.
Couldn't have
See,
come
like,
at
Cody
a better time.
Cody winning the Rumble, I love.
Love
Cody
it.
Cody winning the briefcase, I don't like that much.
Well, now, it makes him winning the Rumble. It makes you love him winning the Rumble even more.
Yeah.
And but, you know he's going to be coming back for that.
Austin Theory, all the shit that Vince loves him and Vince gives him the rub and then that's
inserting him in the fucking ladder match.
That's
you know?
What I'm saying. That was so sick. And I like how they're kind of like, it probably was Vince who did it or whatever. You know, like I like all that. Here's the thing. Wrestling is demented in a way. I mean, the blurred lines between reality, it makes shit weird. It makes this kind of a little bit of a like a real soap opera, right? It makes it edgy in that way because it's hard to not think like all the controversy going out with Vince. And I know it's gross, but I'm just saying. You're like, wow, Vince is eviler than ever in character. And now he's like, oh, and I'll be more of a character on the show than I've been in years, you know? And then he gives Austin Theory the rub. It makes Austin just seem fucking like even more of a fucking heel. It's just kind of a weird art form in that way, you know? And oddly, like, you know, it's something I like about it. I like all the work shoot elements, but I wish some of the shoot stuff were a little bit more, it doesn't need to be all scumbag shit. We could have
like
Cena does like the most make-a-wishes and he has hustle, loyalty, respect, and he lives that. That's like a good example of a shoot.
Yeah, we like the Miz and Mrs. stuff bleeding into Monday Night Raw. We love that.
Right. But that being said, WWE building a lot of new stars right now for the first time in a long time. And that's all, and that's great, including like, you know, it seems like you know, Shotzi's getting some good TV time.
I will say, I mean, number one shining example is Bianca Belair. I mean, and she's just insanely over the pop she got last night. She's just a perfect superstar for them. Perfect.
She's a big star for them. And
what if
and Riddle too. I mean, Riddle is, you know,
what if Charlotte, Sasha and Bailey all came back together and like as like the evil fucking people and they like the NWO, like, you know, like some sick version. And then they just pick up Becky and like get her in and we get that four horsemen finally, horsewoman, and like just fucking do it and make them so fucking evil. Don't allow anybody to fucking get the opportunities, like beat everybody, just take over the women's division. It's such a perfect time for it. They all have something going on. Becky can't keeps losing, right? I mean, she just won this Oscar match, but she can't get the title back. Charlotte's away. Bailey has been on injury stuff. Sasha has problems with the company. Man, fuck it, dude. Just make them like the new Shield or whatever. Like, let's go. Like, it's the perfect time.
I think that could be fun.
It almost feels like that's where they're going.
What, do we have any updates on Sasha?
Nothing new that I heard.
Yeah. I think Sasha will be back. You know?
I mean, they would be fucking, her and Naomi would be fitted in perfectly if they came back.
This dude, what's his name? Israel?
Israel?
Who's the UFC fighter? What? How do you say his name?
Israel Adesanya?
Yeah.
Stylebender?
All right. This guy.
Oh, we have to talk about
this guy. This plays into my point about work shoot too. What I'm saying is like, this guy enters as the Undertaker in his UFC entrance. I mean,
and they were saying, first of all, Daniel Cormier, huge WWE fan.
I mean, if you've
never seen it, watch his video where Seth Rollins cashed in and he was live in the crowd.
Yeah,
but huge WWE
Cormier
fan.
Cormier never tried to come over it or anything.
I think he will one day. I think we'll see him versus Brock. I think it'll be dope.
Didn't he retire from fighting though?
Yeah, but that doesn't mean he won't.
Well, I'm just saying I thought he would have already came is what I'm saying.
Yeah, but what was I saying? Oh, they were saying like it's the greatest entrance of all time. It's getting so much love. I got to take this call, so keep talking.
Well, I mean, it's so fun. He just straight up does the Undertaker entrance. It's I'm just clicking through it. Yeah, it's great. I got so many texts when that happened, which is fun. Yeah, cool. He's saying that that dude's saying he wants to come. He'll definitely be in WWE is what he says. So, you know, that'll be fucking cool. I love a WWE culture bleeds because it's perfect when someone does an entrance or something because it's like that's what's fun about it. All the theatricality is what's fun. So it's cool. It's cool when it bleeds into a real sport because it's like, oh, they're acknowledging what's the fun that they shouldn't just enter because it's boring. But the other thing is that right after the pay-per-view, Vince, Stephanie, and Triple H and Pat McAfee were sitting at watching they were at UFC watching the fight.
Yeah.
A lot of people were saying that, oh, wow, they didn't even go to their thing. It was like, nah, the UFC was after, you know?
AEW was there, too. You saw Tony Khan and JR, right?
And Tony Khan and JR in the building. That's interesting because I was like, man, do you think Vince and Nick saw each other? Tony Khan, I mean? Not Nick Khan.
I'm sure they did.
Do you think God, I would kill to see those two shaking hands or something, you know?
Well, there was something I read on the Bird app that said – Tony Khan said something about like willing to sit down with Vince McMahon and talk about a possible collaboration. So like, I mean, if Tony Khan is like really opening the forbidden door and we get that, I mean, it's insane.
That'd be absolutely insane.
I have a question for you. Do you know a writer for Hacks by any chance? Because there was a huge line in the latest episode of Hacks that Susan Lloyd posted. Forgot where it is. I think it might be in the TV section.
Yeah, the wrestling line? The Roman Reigns line?
Roman line? Yeah. Do you know who wrote that?
Yes, I do. So my three friends are the creators of Hacks. Paul Downs, Lucia, and Jen Statsky. Funny thing. So Jen Statsky's the wrestling fan of it. And, and so... When I see these, I'll text with Jen and whenever I see the wrestling line. So when they were writing Hack Season 2, she had told me, it's funny you say that. She was like, I the first season, I was like, oh, I love the wrestling stuff, you know? And she was like, well, get ready for Season 2, you know? And then when I saw it, I loved it because she says, oh, the context is, she's like, she says, this character's mom is a huge wrestling fan and this character is broke up with their boyfriend. Right. And the mom is like, can I still talk to your boyfriend? And then he's like, no, you know, why are you still talking to my boyfriend? You know, we're not even that close or whatever.
Yeah.
And then she's like, all right, fine, but what about if Roman Reigns goes to AEW? You know, can I text him then? Because they talk about wrestling. And he's like, fine, yes.
And that's yo, slide in it. Can I slide in his DMs, she said.
Yeah. Very funny. And so I let's see, I messaged Jen immediately after that. She loves wrestling, and she worked in it. Matter of fact, her and her husband, Travis Helwig, he's a great guy. That's a and also just gave Dipperstein a shout out. They were supposed to be on the pod at one point, and then I kind of dropped the ball on it.
Yeah,
they were
supposed now to everybody's just stuck with us every week.
But Jen's no joke. They her and Travis, they love wrestling, and they, you know,
amazing.
I talk to them about wrestling when I see them. Hack's a great show. If you haven't seen,
I never
Hack,
watched
check it.
It
out. Yeah, and we're talking about UFC. There's a cool UFC scene in the first step. You haven't seen Hacks?
No, I should watch it.
Season 2, episode 1 has a cool MMA scene that's directed by Gianniello, my friend, as well. Yes, check out those shows. Great. What other shows have great wrestling references? Oh, Master and None, season 1. Aparna had that great line about Samoa Joe, Kino Clutch, or whatever, right? Yeah. That was pretty cool, too. It's interesting because you know what, while you bring this up, this is really interesting. I had two professional writers simultaneously texting me being like, does this line make sense about wrestling stuff? It happens sometimes. I'll read you the text, okay, because I think they're funny. When people are trying to write wrestling stuff, they're like, is this wrestling correct here? My friend was like, would someone ever say, I'm going to go watch last week's Saturday SmackDown? Is this person writing a script? And I was like, no, you'd probably just say, I'm going to go watch SmackDown, you know?
Yeah.
Plus SmackDown's on Fridays is what I said, you know? But it changes days. And then I'm like, last week SmackDown is fine, but you'd probably just say, I'm going to watch SmackDown. I haven't seen it yet. People understand that it's the past episode, right? This is the kind of stuff we're getting to. And then she said, what would you say if someone asked you why the show is called SmackDown? And then I was like, it's because The Rock's big catchphrase was layeth the SmackDown. So when they made a sister show to Raw, they called it SmackDown, and it's The Rock show, and he still calls it his show.
Yeah.
So as I have to explain this, these are professional TV writers, you know, for shows you love.
I love the questions and how proper they are. It's like, what would you say if someone asked you, why do they call it SmackDown? It's like such a good setup.
All right, here's the other question. Ready?
Yeah.
Said my other friend, who's a professional writer, said, what are the corners of the ring called? Turnbuckles? Also, what's the most dangerous move in wrestling? A power slam? And then I said, turnbuckle, yes. I said, it's hard to say the most dangerous move, but pile drivers are banned in WWE. That's what I said.
Yeah.
Good answer?
Yeah, great answer. I mean, any move that's banned is definitely the most dangerous move. So
he said, if you were to leave the WWE, would you call it quitting the league? And I said, no, you say like leaving the company, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. Are those questions great? They're all so valid, and they're really good questions. Like, if you don't watch,
I hope you get like a credit in the fucking, you know, like a wrestling writing credit there.
I hope so too, folks. Anyway, so Vince, they're all ringside at WB at UFC. Seems like really, wow, that is pretty cool. Triple H seems to be back, right?
He's 100% back. Yeah, I honestly think he's got had a hand in a lot of the stuff. The crossover stuff is something Vince never did, like, at all. And it's happening so much now. And it just feels very Triple H.
Yeah. Well, I think what's going on is Vince is trying to be public just to let everyone know, like, I'm not going anywhere, you know?
Whatever. I don't care. But
yeah,
I will say this. We haven't talked about Blood and Guts. And I want to say how fucking awesome that show was.
Yeah, so let's jump to
that that was one of the best fucking times I've had watching wrestling in a long time. They killed it. absolutely killed it from the starting off with Orange Cassidy coming out to Jane. I mean, wow.
Well, Jane is a lot better. I text you immediately. Jane's a way better match for the character Orange Cassidy than Where's My Mind by the Pixies.
Yeah.
Though it's a little bit cosplay-y for me, if you want to know. But it's a little cosplay for me because it's like, oh, he's Paul Rudd from Wet Hot, you know?
Sure.
But it does fit. So I'm cool with it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, if you could come around on Wild Thing, you could come around on Jane.
I think it's a better fit than the Pixie song. I like the Pixie song. I love that song.
Yeah.
It's a little too Fight Club, which is a little not his gimmick entirely, you know, if you're associating the song with the man. And Leftovers, I associate that song with Leftovers and with Fight Club. And those are two things not in the style of him, you know. Mm-hmm. But that being said, yes, I agree. I agree.
Blood and Guts. Blood and Guts.
Fucking crazy. And, I mean, Sammy Guevara is so fucking dope. I mean, he is so fucking talented, you know, as a pro wrestler.
And when he does, like, now he does that fucking crazy thing. Like, yeah. It's kind of a nice setup for when he's going to take a bit of a bump. But this one's nuts. And kudos to AEW for, like, recovering from the awful Chris Jericho bump from the last Blood and Guts. And obviously, huge difference having Blood and Guts with a live crowd. I mean, that crowd was, I mean, Stu's Wood sign all over the place was just absolutely incredible. Him and Steph, the Dip Man, were
Dip Man.
We're at AEW seeing that those signs. Mox is God, such a true statement. And I'll just go right there. I'm going to say it. Number one professional wrestler in the world is Jon Moxley. And honestly, I did a tier of the top 10 wrestlers right now.
Oh,
and
shit. You said we should do that. I fucking forgot to make
we'll
my
do it
list.
For the bonus episode. We'll do it for the bonus episode.
All right,
but
I'll really think about it.
Spoiler alert. And this is good. It goes one Moxley, and then it's grouped 2 to 4, 5 to 7, and 8 to 10. Like, it was so easy for me to be like, Moxley's the best professional wrestler, that he deserved his own slot at the top. The man is on fire.
Does Reigns go number 2?
Spoiler alert. No. Not on my list.
Because I guess Reigns bounced, but if you don't hold that against him, he has a strong argument to be number 2, Roman Reigns.
He's 100% in my top 10.
Okay. Wow. This is fun.
Boy, you want to ask about some wrestlers and I can tell you if they're in my top 10 or not?
I bet.
And I won't say where they are.
Okay. I'm going to okay. Top 10 right now,
but here's the thing:
it's a very. We gotta save this for the bonus app.
No, well, I want to describe how I did this. Yeah. I made actually two lists. I made
are women one in list. It?
Yes, women and tag teams. Tag teams count okay. as.
I know what your number 2 is. Your number 2 is FTR.
No, it's not. Oh, they are on my list. So I made two lists. One, which was certified best wrestlers in the world. Even if they're like, I'm not like huge into them, just watching them perform and seeing them, they deserve to be on the list. I also took into fact, it was like first half of the year, who's done the best work kind of thing. That was the top 10. That's how I factored in. Right. And I did it like that. I said, Mox definitely number 1. And then I grouped 2 through 4 and I went through my list and I was giving people twos or /threes. And then I had to like really narrow it down. I have a list of like fucking 50 wrestlers here, and it's insane.
I just made a list right now.
Yeah. And then I did a list of like wrestlers that I are my top 10, and it took into a lot of factors. I just love what they're doing, and I think they're so incredible, you know?
Wow. All right. We'll kick it off the bonus app here in your list. I just made mine. I kind of just slapped it together. I'll think on it because I don't want it to feel like I just rushed it, you know, but I feel pretty strongly about this list, actually. I wonder, it's always hard because I don't really watch New Japan close enough to know where some of these.
Yeah, but like, you know, spoiler alert, I have wrestlers from New Japan on mine. They're on there because they deserve to be on there.
I have one on here as well, but I think you can use Forbidden Door to gauge like how well someone's doing it in New Japan, you know?
Man, I just want to say my list right now.
No, you got to save it. Well, All right. My first list I just rattled off, by the way, interesting because, like, I don't have Charlotte because she's not around, you know?
Yeah. I don't have Charlotte on mine.
Yeah. But you're like, okay, well, I just made mine. But I only had one woman on it. I got to think about it. Because the Sasha's not here, you know?
I have one woman on my list also.
Oh, okay. So I'm not a piece of shit?
No, I just think on my list, like, I think there's overall the women as a whole are doing really good work, but I think there's one wrestler, in my opinion, that's standing out, and I haven't really. So I have one on that list, but then I have.
All right, what's the parameters for the other list? So I'll make one of those as well.
Just like. Who
it's like,
almost
like
are
one
favorite,
of my guys
yeah,
right now.
Yeah, one of my hey, guys. Current, favorite one of my list. Guys. Yep.
Well, it's not just one of my guys. It's like, you know, people who are on my to watch list. It's like what's juking my jitters right now. You know what I mean? What's uh-huh. All right, cool. Exactly. I'll make a list of that as well. I love that. Fun. Dig it. I'm surprised we haven't seen Conor McGregor try to wrestle yet. You know?
I was thinking that the other day too, and I think it's time, especially with like Logan Paul being here too. Like, I could see him coming and getting involved big time.
Yeah, interesting.
I mean, it's another wild.
All right, well, my list is made. I'll save it for the bonus app. We'll talk Dynamite and these lists.
Think about it a little bit more because you might be forgetting some people. But that's pretty quick. It took me a while, so because I just kept listing wrestlers like. Out and I was like, oh shit, I forgot about this wrestler. Oh shit,
I definitely already forgot about like, yeah. All right, I already have 11 right now, so I gotta trim it down. Do we do honorable mentions?
We could do some honorable mentions.
Okay, we'll do some honorable mentions. Okay, all right. Oh man, I just accidentally clicked on the Blood and Guts from 2021. Remember Cody wrestled QT Marshall.
Oh, and let me get shout out to Rampage too for doing that double ring, like Royal Rumble esque kind of thing. That was fucking sick as well.
Yeah, that's fun too. As a matter of fact, I just saw something on Cage Side Seats. It said Rampage is having their best numbers in July. Cool.
I'm sure. Huge week for AEW.
I gotta go.
Huge
do
week for
go
WWE.
I gotta go do some stand up.
Yeah, go do some stand up, bro.
But for people to know, if you're not hearing this, last improv show July 9th, this Saturday. In LA at the Broadwater Theater. You get tickets at lastimprovshow.eventbrite.com. I'll give you guys a promo code. $5 off your tickets, even though this show will probably sell out, so I don't even need to give promo codes, but I'm doing it for loyalty for Cal listeners, mm-hmm. for Comedy Pulse Show followers of their Instagram, and I did a promo code for people following at Last Improv Show. So follow at Last Improv Show, follow at Comedy Pulse Show, which is a show Christina and I produce here in LA. That show is so fucking great. Our last show is awesome. There's one on July 30th. Already the lineup's looking sick for that show. But Last Improv Show is this Saturday. If you live in LA, come check it out.
You guys should live stream it one night somehow, just like for one night so we can all like watch. That'd be
so
dope.
I'm
just one night
speaking to a venue for Last Improv Show. That has live stream capabilities. So we might be live streaming very soon.
Yeah. Sick.
Oh, I didn't say the promo code?
You
got to
say the promo
code. Oh, my
yeah.
God.
I'm out for a promo code, and you didn't
it's
say the code.
Improv. Sorry. I'm such an idiot. Thank you, Christina.
Christina's
the promo
best.
Code is improv. All
yeah, you're,
fuck.
You're an idiot. I'm
I
an idiot.
I don't need to give out this promo code, but I'm doing it. And the show will sell out, so do it. LastImprovShow.eventbrite.com. Come check out the show. Also, forgot to mention Skylar Astin, Pitch Mr. Perfect, doing the monologues to get our improv going. Darcy Carden on the show, Nicole Byer on the show, Neil Casey on the show, Mary Holland on the show, Paul Walsh on the show, Anthony King on the show, me on the show.
When are you doing one in August?
Yes.
Let me know that date.
I actually will know that later today, so I'll let you know.
Text me.
All right. Hey. All right, everybody, we'll talk to you on the bonus episode. And everybody, keep watching wrestling. Kisses. Cheers up.
Eat my ass.